Welcome to Beyond the Bio. Today's guest is Jackie Stockwell, a multi-award winning entrepreneur and global voice in information management. Her new book, Blooming Good Information Management, introduces the Empower framework, helping leaders unlock clarity and confidence in the way that they use data. But what's just as impressive as her framework is the way that Jackie has built a standout personal brand in what many would call an unsexy or overly complex industry. Jackie's used storytelling, lived experience, and strategic visibility to become a go-to expert in a technical space. And today we're going to explore how she's done it. So welcome to Beyond the Bio, Jackie.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be here.
Got so many questions to ask you about your topic, because let's be honest, information management isn't always seen as the most glamorous field. So how have you started shaping your personal brand in a way that actually feels really engaging and accessible in an industry that's got those perceptions?
Yeah, I mean, the industry itself has been a challenge. It has done a lot of change over the last few years. Certainly COVID had a really big impact in terms of working from home. So information, people were working from home pretty much. So Microsoft 365 Teams, they were working from home. So we kind of went from physical kind of records to very much digital. Some organizations had done some of the digital transformation before, but COVID definitely gave us that kind of force. Now, I think in the industry, people don't understand the value of information. So information is gold. And us as information leaders, we're there to look after it, guide the organization with best practices to stay legal, but also compliant under the regulations. Now, having said all that, that sounds quite, you know, dull and mundane, really. But it's so refreshing and so rewarding to be within that industry. In terms of my personal brand, I was an information manager in the National Health Service. So I spent 10 years setting up leadership through data. And I'd spend a long time doing training courses, having presentations, and I learn so differently to other people. I'm dyslexic, I have ADHD, so my attention span is not there, and I'm a visual kind of doer kind of learner. So when I left, I wanted to set up a company that focused very much on people's learning styles, and provide training and resources and kind of revamp that kind of dull kind of aspect from the industry, using visual aids, get people talking, because you can share and you can learn from other people's better than you can learn from a teacher. But also it is that element of, if you're going to a training course, you need to listen to the trainer and not read what's on the slide deck. So there was like a huge kind of transformation in when I first started out. For me, it was very, very imposter syndrome, very, very different to put the company out in a completely different style to anybody else. My own personal brand is just to keep it very simple, very fun, and just use stories. So you can really catch people's attention through their emotional connection by telling a story, because we've been telling stories since we, you know, day dot before we could right and whatever. That's how we communicated. So there was very much within our industry a few years ago when GDPR came in. So the General Data Protection Regulations was like, if you don't look after information, you can get fined. So that was kind of the, you must do this, otherwise you'll get fined. Whereas now there's a real shift in the industry around telling stories to kind of rejuvenate and really get people to understand the value of information. And I do that just kind of being myself, really, push the authenticity and make it fun, because if you're trying to copy somebody else, it's gonna, you know, comparison is a thief of joy, really, is the things that I would say.
Into that in a little bit more detail, in the sense that you referred there to having dyslexia and ADHD. How has that authenticity and sharing that helped you to stand out?
So it's what I'm told, that dyslexics have a completely different way of thinking. So we can find gaps in certain areas and fill those gaps. So my latest book, as you said, is my international bestseller. Thank you very much, Moja Publishing. My book. So what's happening now within the industry is that we've gone from paper to digital, but then we've got a bunch of soft skills. We've got our own personal belief, our own confidence. We've got public speaking, you know, change management, and we have to be leaders to drive that influence within the business. So there's a massive thing around kind of pulling that all together. Now, what other industries have done is focus silos on each of the training courses, so you can go to one, to another, to then another. But actually, what I've created, and I think my dyslexia has definitely helped with that, is actually, why can't you merge that all into one program that allows somebody to learn all the skills? So an accelerant program that allows somebody to give it all the skills all in one, and you can increase your professional profile and also accelerate the business's information management. And I think dyslexia, we're very good at storytelling, so in my book there's loads of stories how we relate looking after our information to very, very high, you know, vintage wines, to how often you turn them, you know, to look after, to preserve the quality, to a £5 bottle of wine that you buy from a shop that you just stick in and stick out and then drink when you kind of need it. And that's the same kind of value as information. And it's that I feel that I capture quite a bit. But I also don't, when I do public speaking and I travel the world, my presentations are not boring, so I get people to move around, because training and education is so important. But it's actually providing you with a skill that you can go and take away, not just waste somebody's time in a sort of death by PowerPoint session. So it's those tangible skills to kind of take away. And as I said, it goes back to that imposter syndrome right at the start. Very different presentations. But that is how I've built my personal brand, just kind of pushing through the boundaries of what was perceived as normal to do something different. And I definitely think my superpower has helped with that.
What advice would you give to someone that's in a technical or specialist field who's worried that their expertise is too niche to build a personal brand around?
I don't think anything's too niche, Sophie, I would say. You can have a big wide niche and then you can have multiple niches underneath, but driving a certain niche, so my niche is being authentic, empowering, inspiring, for those kind of soft skills, that's my niche with the business. But there is no niche to be a niche. So, for example, in our industry, you now need to know about records management. You need to know privacy. You need to know about Microsoft 365. So they're all niches in themselves.
I would agree with that. And I think it probably links to being a bit of a superpower as well, in that if you can get really clear on what that niche is, then you're going to stand out for the right reasons, I suppose. You know, when you're in something very technical in the way that you are, I suspect that people in those industries and probably maybe not, like, maybe overthink it a bit and think that they are too niche, but actually there's an audience for everybody, isn't there, with everything. And actually, if you're super clear and very focused on what that is, then you can stand out more. So I would agree with that. So let's talk about your book. What made you decide that it was the right time to write the book? And then how did you make sure that it was your voice that's coming through when your content is quite technical?
So I'm very much around professional development. So I started a training program for entrepreneurs, and I got set a challenge to write a book in 90 days. So I'm very, very goal orientated. If I don't have a goal, nothing happens, really. I've kind of known that a bit more with sort of like exercise and stuff. I need to have something to work towards. I really enjoyed, so I think the fear of writing a book can be quite intensive, just as a dyslexic, like staring at a blank page was a fear. Are you did pull in some of the content that I'd previously written from training courses, from blogs and stuff like that. So I wasn't starting solely on a blank canvas, but the Empower framework that we've created for information leaders, which is each chapter in the book, formulated out of my thoughts about what I just said previously about kind of pulling it all together. So that's what shaped it. To make sure it had my own voice, I had to use stuff that I like. So I love sharks. People are scared of public speaking. There's a statistics in the US that says that people rather die than do public speaking. For me, people are scared of sharks. So I cover Australia, and there's a big sort of shark campaign out there about how you can swim safely. So I kind of pulled those things together. And also around sort of like my personal kind of journeys, really. I'm not a fan of pigeons in London. A bit scared of, you know, the pigeons in London. But actually, that's kind of, so I told that story of, and then I think that just gets your authentic kind of voice through. I did struggle with some imposter syndrome as it hit Amazon, if I'm totally honest. It was like, oh, people like it, but I suppose it gets that the viewpoint that some people will love it, some people will find it really beneficial, and some people it might not be their bag. But for me, it was a huge undertaking, certainly being dyslexic, but something I'm, you know, incredibly proud of. And also when you work with publishers, so I worked with Moja Publishing, and thank you very much. And it was kind of building that relationship with you so you could understand my voice as well. So where we went through the kind of edits, you could kind of see my voice, and we could kind of work together on that. So that's what I'm incredibly proud of.
These things have happened since, because you've had a big event since the book launched, didn't you? You did a bigger event. And tell us some of the cool things that have happened.
So some of the cool things, I've definitely seen an increase in my LinkedIn profiles. So I've seen a lot more interactions with some of my posts, certainly with my industry, certainly the credibility and my authority from the book.
And has that helped imposter syndrome that you've mentioned?
It has now. It has. So it's helped to overcome that. So I'm not so worried about it now. But it's like the way that I describe imposter syndrome, like stairs. There's somebody always better than you. You have to go up a stair. Somebody's better than you. And then once you get to that level on the stair and you're comfortable, you kind of move up a bit more. So that's kind of how I would describe that. Well, I became an international bestseller in 24 hours. So I have an international business.
How did you celebrate?
I had a massive bottle of Moët, but you know, those types of things. And like when the books arrived, I couldn't get into them. It took so long. I don't know if you'd seen the video, but I was like blubbering trying to open this well-packed set of books. And I think for me as well, from a business perspective, it's got a lot of people to, you know me a bit more. So I'm just one person, but it kind of gives a lot more people worldwide to get to know me without getting to know me, if that makes sense. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. It does make sense. And what plans have you got to leverage the book? What are you going to do with it?
Ooh, well, I've already been told that I should write seven others, Sophie. So, each on Empower. So each one.
Yeah, each letter, right.
But each okay. letter. So, right. But in terms of the book, I think like the plans that I have for it is to, you know, work with customers. You know, now we can offer a customer solution so they can read a book if they haven't got the budget to kind of work with us, continue to market it, work with customers, offer copies. It's on Audible as well. So that was kind of a fun experience doing that.
Have you listened to it?
I have. My sister made me sit and listen to it in the office one day. And it's good. And I feel like I've got a nice recording voice as well. So that's kind of cool. But wanted to do that because obviously some of my dyslexic colleagues in information management would have wanted that. And I've had quite a few people come and ask me for the audiobook. So it's just around that accessibility, really.
Exciting. Yeah, you've got to practice what you preach around that, haven't you? And have
100%.
So what, obviously the book that is out, is doing well, is really helping in terms of building your profile. What other activities have you done that you think are things worth mentioning for people watching or listening to the show that you would advise them to do in terms of building their profile?
Yeah, so I work with some amazing international partners, so information management associations. So we've started to work with them as well, and using it in a resource kind of section. A lot of customers have said that they're going to put my book in as a resource library. There's also a UK university that wants to put it as part of their core text for one of their educational programs around information management. So that's kind of exciting. I would definitely say with your book, ensure that when you use LinkedIn, promote that your book's on there, but don't be overly sales. Give some content and then a link to that. I'm encouraging people to review it and like it, which I think is always kind of a good thing, because everyone likes a good review. You don't buy anything without looking at a review, do you? Yeah, so they're kind of the other things, definitely, for work with partnerships.
You've got your podcast as well?
I do have my own podcast. So it's called The Journals of the Information Entrepreneur. So it's basically structured under the EMPOWER framework, where we talk about soft skills, technology, but also one of my biggest things is to people that are on the show, I want to know about them first, because we're so good at just kind of launching into compliance and kind of our job roles that we do forget ourselves as people. So that's very much kind of the focus that I want to do with my podcast. So yes, it's one each week that I'm doing, and I'm really enjoying that, so it's really exciting to come onto yours today.
Yeah, totally exciting. And what are you doing in terms of speaking? Have you had the opportunity to kind of seek out more speaking opportunities off the back of the book, or is that something that you're going to do as part of your strategy?
So I've got a speaking opportunity in Australia. So I'm down there the 28th to the 30th of October with one of our partners. So I'm speaking about my book there and the Empower Framework. And then I've also got another fair few speaking engagements coming up over the next year. So it'll be America, back in the UK, and New Zealand as well. Also run some webinars. So when the book launched, I did a four webinar sprint in 2 days across the world. So I ran sort of same webinars just to, you know, get people kind of talking about it on book launch day as well. So they're the things that are going to fall in within the strategy as well.
Exciting. So lots to go at, lots happening. And what's next? What else? What's your focus going to be over the next sort of year or so in terms of profile building activities? Anything in mind?
So profile building, will still be pushing on public speaking. I would love a TEDx talk. That's kind of one of the big things.
What would your topic be?
Information management.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Your title, be a bit more specific.
It's kind of beyond the seas. So I wanted to share the story that I have in my book around information management and talk about the ship navigating, because I really kind of want to continue to drive the importance of information within the world. And I feel that it'd be a good platform to do that.
That's exciting. Well, we'll all keep an eye out for that. And look forward to hearing that you've secured one of those, and we can all watch it when it comes out on YouTube. Exciting. Jackie, if anyone listening or watching hasn't connected with you, where's the best place for them to find you?
LinkedIn. So I'm under Jacqueline Stockwell. Leadership Through Data is my business, so you can find me on there. Reach out. I'd love to connect with You don't have to be in the information management industry to connect with me. There's lots of top tips, and I'll share my passion for anything we do. I think I was dancing around to our Blooming Good soundtrack on such a good soundtrack, Sophie. It came out of one of the webinars. Yeah, so in one of the webinars, because obviously it has to be engaging, one of the icebreakers was put your favourite song that makes you dance. And then we took that into a Spotify soundtrack, and every song makes you dance.
Check that one out after this.
Yeah.
Well, we'll pop a link to your LinkedIn profile in the show notes just to make that super easy for people to find you. And exciting. Let's watch this space to see what comes next.
Thank you so much. Been really grateful to be on the show today.
Thank you for listening. If you're serious about growing your profile, take our free profile assessment quiz to see where you're at right now and get hints and tips on how to improve your score. You'll find the link to the quiz in the show notes. If you've enjoyed the episode, it would be mint if you'd subscribe, like, and leave a review. See you next Monday.